Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to all of my precious brothers and sisters, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. Well, I have a wonderful broadcast for you today, and I haven't been on the air since Friday when we had our call-in broadcast, and we're going to be doing that every Friday. There's a wonderful sister who goes by the name of Sister Marie. I've already introduced her to you on Friday. She's a researcher. She's a layperson, but she's a phenomenal researcher. And she's going to be coming to the broadcast every Friday. She's going to be joining me, and I'm going to do some teaching, and she's going to be doing some reporting. So between the two of us, and then, of course, we want you, the radio audience, to call in. And so, listen, you're going to be able to call in. You're going to be able to ask a question or share your opinion. All you got to do when you call in is just behave yourself. All you have to do is, if you behave yourself, if you are of an opposing view and you call in, that's okay. Just behave yourself, because if you don't behave yourself, it's very easy for me to mute the call. And then after we mute the call, then it's sayonara. See you later. So every Friday with Sister Marie, we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful broadcast. And if you didn't tune in to last Friday's broadcast, you need to do so. It was great. It was really, really good. And we talked about a lot of things. But we really try to show the connection, the proof that the Roman Catholic Church is indeed invading the Protestant Church. And with the invasion, it's bringing a spiritual plague. It's bringing disease. And it's leavening the church. So, like I said, every Friday I'm going to be doing teaching. Sister Marie is going to be doing some reporting. She's going to be telling us what's going on around the world. What is the Pope doing? What are they doing behind the scenes in the Vatican? What things are they doing behind our backs? And it's going to be great. And I hope you call in. I hope you call in. Now, if you would like for us to answer questions, that a question you may have or a number of questions you may have, all you have to do is email Sister Marie at reformationexpress@gmail.com, reformationexpress@gmail.com. Email, if you don't want to call in, just email us your question and we'll answer them on the air. So I can't wait for Friday. Today's Monday, but I can tell you I can't wait for Friday. And every Friday we're going to be on, God willing now, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We're going to be on prime time every single Friday. If you happen to be out with friends, eating at a restaurant, if you happen to, you know, be at the movies, remember that all of these broadcasts are archived. So if you missed it live, you can always check us out later. And like I said, this past Friday, we had a great time. We did 2 hours of radio last Friday, and we had a phenomenal time in the Lord. And it's only going to get better because you're going to be calling in, and that's going to make it all the more interesting. For those of you who don't know, I was on the air with Sister Susan Puzio on Saturday, and we did a whole thing on first fruits. So if you want to catch that broadcast, just go to Susan Puzio Prophetic News on Block Talk Radio. And it was a timely broadcast because, as you know, all of the scam artists, all of the hucksters, all of the con men and con women who specialize in getting people to send them first fruits offerings, well, they're at work. It's the month of January. It's when they peddle this scam, is when they are ready to rake in the bucks. That's right. So tune in to Susan Puzio's broadcast, Prophetic News. You'll see there that last Saturday she had a broadcast on the first fruits offering scam. And yours truly was with her, and we had a great time there. And, folks, if anyone's appealing to you, if you're getting appeal letters at home, if someone got your mailing address, if someone is sending you robocalls, if you happen to be watching Christian television, and I don't know why, but if you happen to be watching it, and some preacher's out there telling you that you need to send a first fruits offering in order to get God's blessing on your life, please tune it off. No such thing. You don't need to do no. These people are con artists. And all they want to do, they don't represent God. They don't know the Lord. They are simply false prophets and false teachers. And all they want to do is con you. You know, there's a con woman who goes by the name of Paula White. And she would love for you to send her a 1 month salary. That's right. She has like this 3 different levels of giving according to your faith. No, it's really according to your stupidity. Because anyone who reads the Bible will realize that there are no 3 levels of giving the first fruits offering. Well, according to Miss Scam Artist Extraordinaire Paula White, there are 3 levels in which you can give the first fruits offering. The first level is a 1 month salary. So that means you're going to work all the month of January and you're going to send Miss Thing all your paychecks for the month of January as a first fruits offering to God. Now, she's laughing all the way to the bank when anyone sends her 1 month salary. She can't believe you did it. But she throws, she'll pitch it. She'll pitch it because, according to Paula, when you let go of your little, then you will receive God's big. And they're very slick. They're very slick on how they con people. So if you send God the 1 month salary, then you get the big blessing, the big blessing if you send God the 1 month salary. Now, if I was to send Paula or any preacher 1 month salary, I can tell you that my wife, we have several skillets in the house, and they're pretty, pretty heavy. If my wife found out that I sent Paula White or Rod Parsley or Benny Hinn 1 month salary as the first fruits offering, I can tell you I won't be on the air for about 6 or 7 months while my cranium is healing, because she will hit me over the head with a skillet. That's right. I would be in the hospital in a coma. In a coma with tubes all over coming out of my nose and my mouth. And I mean, I would be, you know, comatose. And you wouldn't hear me for months. Sister Marie would have to do this broadcast by herself. It's not going to have me sending anybody. No. She will have to say, when the police ask her, well, what happened? Well, I gave my husband an examination, a skillet examination. I want to see if he had something in his coconut. And once she tells the police why she hit me over the head with the skillet, they would let her go. Okay, ma'am. Yeah, he's a dope. Yep, he deserved it. So don't you send anybody 1 month salary. Don't send anybody 1 month salary. Then she has it where you can send 1 week salary. And she gets a lot of people to go for the second package. Now, when you send the 1 week salary, the blessing that she guarantees isn't that big, but at least you get a blessing. You get a stimulus package from the Lord. Now, the stimulus package is not like when it's not big, but it's something. And then the last level is for the really, really poor people. Well, Paula says, well, send a one-day salary. Send me something. And there's a ton of people sending her and she's getting rich. Listen, off of the one-day salary offering, off of the one-day salary, okay, how much do you make in a day? $50? Okay, send me that. Off of that offering, she is making a killing. She's making a killing. She's laughing all the way to the bank. She's laughing all the way to Paris, all the way to England. She's traveling the world. She's globetrotting on your dime. She's eating at fancy restaurants and buying expensive shoes, all on your gullibility. So don't send anybody anything. If you know anything about the Bible, first fruits are not first dollars. Technically, you're supposed to be sending, if these preachers are asking for first fruits, go send them a bag of oranges. Go send them a 5 pound bag of potatoes. If they want first, you want a first fruit? Okay, I'm sending you a bag of pears. That's what I'm sending you. If you want a first fruit talk. If you don't want the bag of pears, you're not getting anything. Because it's first fruits, not first dollars. That's number one. And number two, folks, first fruits were never given in the month of January. The Jewish people gave first fruits in June. In June. Because all of these offerings that Israel gave, they gave them based on certain religious feasts. The first feast of the year is Passover. Passover feast corresponds to the celebration that we have in the church of the Lord's resurrection. You know, when Christ died on the cross, and then he was buried and he rose again, okay, which pagan Christians called Easter. Well, Passover, you'll always notice that Passover always coincides, is always connected to what we call our Lord's resurrection. Always. And that happens sometimes in the year, in 1 year. It can happen in March, or late March, early April. And that's because the Jewish people are on a lunar calendar, and we Christians are on a solar calendar. So sometimes that's why it doesn't, the months vary. Now, that's the first religious feast of the year, Passover. Then the second feast is the Feast of First Fruits, which corresponds to Pentecost. And Pentecost is always May, June. Again, depending, if we happen to celebrate Passover in March, then we will be celebrating Pentecost in May. If we celebrate Passover in April, then we will be celebrating Pentecost in June. See? And it was during the Feast of Pentecost, which happens to be the Feast of Harvest, that people gave their first fruits offering. So Paul is trying to get to your money in January, when really, if you follow the biblical pattern, it's supposed to be given in June. But she says, no, you see, first fruits means the first of the year, and the first of the year is January. See how they twist the Bible? See how they twist scripture? Now, folks, let me ask you a simple question. If you look outside your window as I'm speaking on the radio, or if you're driving and you're listening to me, if you look outside your window, depending upon where you live in the United States, there's probably snow everywhere. Your whole neighborhood is covered in snow. Unless if you live in a place like Texas or Louisiana or Florida or Mississippi. Or if you live in Arizona, then you're not covered by snow. But the great majority of Americans, wherever they live, they're covered by snow. Now, nobody plants in the snow. Nobody sows in the snow. Nobody reaps a harvest in the snow. This is winter time. Then seed time comes in the spring. Seed time is followed by harvest. So seed time for us is March, and harvest time for us is May, June. Seed time and harvest, as God told Noah. As long as the earth remains, there shall be seed time and harvest. So I never got a harvest in December. There's snow everywhere. So you see, I mean, even in a natural sense, I don't know anybody, and I know some great farmers. I know some farmers that they know how to get tons of potatoes out of the acreage that they have. I know farmers who do, I mean, they work miracles when it comes to planting corn. I know some Amish people. They're fantastic. Oh, they know how to get the most for the amount of land that they have. But not one of them can produce a harvest when all of their land is covered by snow. So I don't know about you, but it's January where I'm at. We're buried under snow. Buried. We're like Eskimos. American Eskimos. So I don't know of anybody who's given a harvest. You know, even down in Arizona and places like Texas and still places like Florida are getting a harvest. It's wintertime. So don't give anybody your money. Don't be dopey. Don't be foolish. Think. Be analytical. Put on a thinking cap. Remember in school when the teacher used to tell you and me when we were in the first grade in kindergarten, how the teachers used to say, okay, boys and girls, we're going to put on our thinking caps because we're going to do math. Well, do some thinking cap when you listen. Put on your thinking cap when you're going to listen to these preachers. Think. Reason. Be analytical. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Be like the Bereans. Search the scriptures. And if you don't, you're going to wind up giving these people your house. You're going to mortgage your house and give them the money. You know, there's some preachers that say, you have two cars, go sell one and give the money to the Lord. Carpool with your wife to work. Your wife has a car, and she uses that to go to work, and you have a car. Well, why don't you sell one of your cars and give the money to the Lord? The problem is the Lord's not getting it. And the second problem is the Lord never told you to do any such thing. Because when you drive up to the church on Sunday, you'll notice that there's a first lady's parking space and there's the bishop's parking space, and what's there are two Bentleys. You don't see them. You don't see the bishop coming with his wife in the car. Oh no, they come with two separate cars. And they are some expensive cars. Two Bentleys for the bishop and another Bentley for the first lady. Mm-hmm. Yep. You don't see the bishop and his wife doing what they told you and your wife to do. So think a little bit. Say, wait a minute. When you sell your Bentley and you give it to the work of the Lord, then I might think about it. But I got to see you do it first. And you know they ain't going to do it. You just know they ain't going to do it. So, folks, this is first fruit season for the scam artists. Not for you, not for me. But if they try to con you, if they try to get over on you, tune the television off. Just change the channel. Change the channel. Just you know, watch something else. Go watch an episode of I Love Lucy. Or go watch an episode of The Andy Griffith Show. Go watch an episode of Bonanza. Go see Haas and Little Joe. Go catch an episode of Little House on the Prairie. But no. It's dangerous. Today it's dangerous to watch so-called Christian television. It's wolf television. Wolf television is what it is. Wolf television. Where they will just parade in front of you wolves in sheep's clothing who are just there to take advantage of the saints, to fleece them ad infinitum. Well, today's broadcast is about the Roman Catholic Church. It's about the Roman Catholic Church. And the Roman Catholic Church is polluted, told in the Bible that she would be polluted. The book of Revelation, chapter 17, tells us. It describes the Roman Catholic Church. And what does Revelation 17 tell us? Well, it tells us that she is a harlot church. A harlot church. Now, there's a lot of doctors who wind up taking care of prostitutes, and these doctors will say, okay, now we need to check you for this disease, and we need to check you for that other disease, and we need to check you for this and for that, and we got to take some blood, and we got to take a Pap smear, and the venereal diseases are just transmittable. Well, the Roman Catholic Church is a perverted church. It's perverted. And again, in Revelation 17, we're told that she is the mother of harlots, whose cup is full of abominations. Her cup is full of abominations. And the book Jackass Bishops revealed that. And we're not shocked, because long before the brother wrote Jackass Bishops, the Bible told us that the Roman Catholic Church is perverted and she possesses a perverted history. Now, the word perverted has much to do with twisted history. Twisted, when something gets twisted. A person with a perverted mind is a person with a twisted mind. Twisted. Twisted. I played audio for you weeks back, and we looked at how Pope Francis, was presiding over a Roman Catholic Mass, and not to anyone's surprise, the cantor was worshiping Lucifer, calling Lucifer God, and saying that Jesus Christ is the son of Lucifer. Now, folks, that's perverted. That's perverting the Bible. That's twisting what the Bible says. Lucifer is not God. Jesus Christ is not the son of Lucifer. He is not. It's not. Jesus Christ is the only begotten son of God, of Lucifer. Lucifer is a fallen angel. Lucifer is none other than Satan himself, the devil, the red dragon of Revelation 12, the old serpent of Genesis 3. That's who Lucifer is. That's who Lucifer is. Satan himself. So Jesus, who is God, who's the second person of the Holy Trinity, he's not the son of Satan. It's just like, look, folks, here's another perverted thought. Here's another perverted theology of the Roman Catholic Church. It's quite perverted when they say, when they declare that Mary is the mother of God. Mary had a beginning, folks. Mary had a beginning. Mary was and is a human being. She died. She lived in history. She was a true individual, a true human being who lived out history. Then she gave up the ghost. She died. She died. No, and no matter what the Roman Catholics say, that she was raptured into heaven, the Assumption of Mary, that's a fairy tale that was promulgated in the 1950s. That fairy tale of the Assumption of Mary, that she was received up into heaven like Jesus, that's a fairy tale. She died. Mary died. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And God doesn't die. And Mary is not the mother of God. God, you know, if Mary is the mother of God, then God is not God, because then God had a beginning. When I look at my mother, when I think of my mother and father gave me my beginning. So if Mary is the mother of God, then Jesus had a beginning. So folks, it's perverted. It's perverted. The Roman Catholic Church has a perverted history. And that's why the book Jackass Bishops, if you want a good read, if you want an excellent read, if you want a riveting read, if you want an edge of your seat read, you got to get the book Jackass Bishop. Go to paganbishops.com, paganbishops.com, order your copy of Jackass Bishops. Now, Rome has a perverted history. In other words, all throughout, if we know our history, we know that the Roman Catholic Church started with Constantine the Great. Constantine the Great. And that was in the 4th century. In the 4th century, the Roman Emperor Constantine became the head of the church, and he gave himself the title. These are the titles that Constantine gave himself when he, as the Emperor of Rome, made Christianity the legal religion. These are the three titles. First and foremost, Constantine called himself the Bishop of Bishops. Secondly, he dubbed himself the Vicar of Christ. And then thirdly, he called himself the Pontifex Maximus, the pagan high priest. So he called himself Bishop of Bishops, which that is the title of Jesus. He called himself Vicar of Christ, or replacement for Christ, or substitute for Christ. And then he called himself Pontifex Maximus. So he merged, he synchronized Christianity with paganism. And that's where the Roman Catholic Church started, in essence. And that started in the 4th century. So here we are in the 21st century, 17 centuries later, and the Roman Catholic Church has had one twist after another, one perverted twist in its history, another. But we should not be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised because everything that Satan takes, he does what? He perverts. What does Satan do to marriage? He perverted it. How did he pervert it? Well, first he said, well, people don't need to get married. People can live out of wedlock. It's what society calls common law. People live together. They're not married. They don't have any ties, but they live together. In Hollywood, there's a famous couple, Goldie Hawn, right, and Kurt Russell. Now, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell have been together for, what, 40 years? And they'll never get married. They don't want to get married. They want to live common law. So you see, for some people, Satan has perverted their thinking. Now, they want all the benefits of marriage, but they don't want to be married. It's called common law marriage, but common law marriage is not marriage. It's not marriage because when you're married, you take sacred vows before God, commitment before God, and it is binding. So that's one of the ways that Satan perverts marriage. And then the second way that Satan perverts marriage is same-sex marriage. Well, you know, a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. The problem with that is that never produces offspring. So you can't do what God said. God said, God who designed man, who created man, and who designed the woman, and he said to the man, he said, listen, you need a helpmate. You need someone who can help you produce offspring. You need someone who you can connect with physically and produce offspring. So after God made the female, he male and female made he them, he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Now, homosexuals can't do that. Two guys can't do that. Two women can't do that. They can't fulfill. Excuse me. But here we are today, and what are they promoting? Same-sex marriage. It's perversion. Perversion. Well, the Roman Catholic Church is involved in much satanic perversion. And, you know, it's all coming to a head. It's all coming to a head. Why? Well, because Antichrist is soon to appear. Antichrist is soon to show up. In fact, there are theories, there are teachings, there are postulations out there that he was born in 1966, the year 6666, and if he was born in 1966, then that would make him 51 years old. There are others who believe that he was born in 1968, the year that the movie Rosemary's Baby came out. And I was, you know, when I taught theology, when I taught anthropology, biblical anthropology, I'm not talking about secular anthropology, when I taught biblical anthropology, because, you know, one of the things, when you study secular anthropology begins with the evolution of man from the ape. But when you teach biblical anthropology, you teach that there is what? There is a creator. And that we can all trace back our origins to the first couple, Adam and Eve. That's biblical anthropology differs greatly from secular anthropology because secular anthropology does not include God, and biblical anthropology includes God in everything. Not only did God create us, but then he created a lifestyle. He created work. He created the family. He created laws, the marriage law, so forth and so on. God established society. You read the first chapters of Genesis, chapter 3, 4, and 5, and you see God established society. Secular anthropology is clueless. It just postulates, makes a lot of it just puts forth a lot of theories, a lot of suggestions, it may have been this way. So, and then the other difference between secular anthropology and biblical anthropology is that secular anthropology, man ends when he dies. But in biblical anthropology, no, man, it doesn't end for man when he dies, because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Now there's a judgment day, now you have to stand before God, and now there's an existence in eternity. Because man is tripart. Man is soul, body, and spirit. There's a vast difference. So when I was teaching demonology and satanology, I was a theology professor, and when we got to demonology and satanology, we had to cover the subject of the Antichrist. And what we had to debate and discuss and have our thinking caps on is the Antichrist the actual offspring of Satan? Is he the result of Satan cohabiting with a woman and producing a child? Or is Antichrist simply a man born to a woman, born to a man whom Satan possesses? So, now when you're dealing with Antichrist, you're dealing with a human being who is under the authority of Satan. And so you have the branch of eschatology, the branch of future things. You have the branch of anthropology, biblical anthropology. Then you have, is it possible for angels to cohabit with women, as there is a theory put forth by the first, second, third, and fourth book of the apocryphal book of Enoch, also covered in the second epistle of Peter chapter 2 and also Jude verse 6. There's a lot to ponder, a lot to talk about, a lot to discuss. So back in 1968, there was a pretty famous movie called Rosemary's Baby, and I would have my theology students look at that movie and write a paper on it, because that movie puts forth the theory that Antichrist is indeed the offspring of Satan cohabiting with a woman. The woman in the movie happens to be Rosemary. Now, the mother of Jesus was named Mary, but Satan's mother is Rosemary. Jesus' name is Jesus, and the Antichrist's name is Adrian. And according to this movie, Satan was born in 1968. If he was born in 1968, as this satanic movie puts forth, then today he would be 49 years old. If he was born in 1966, he would be 51. So, listen, it's at 50. It's around this time, it's around that age, that a man enters politics. Most politicians hit the pinnacle. Now, there's a few exceptions, like in the case of Ronald Reagan, he came to be president late. In the case of the president-elect Donald Trump, he's 69. But most guys in the political world, most guys and gals in the political world become something of note, like Barack Obama, when they're young. So, you know, the Antichrist, depending on what theory you accept, what theory you are enamored with. You know, he's in his 50s. And he's itching to come on the scene. Antichrist is just itching. He just wants to, I mean, he's an egomaniac. The Antichrist is a narcissist. The Antichrist wants people to call him God. He can't wait to be worshipped. He just can't wait to be worshipped. But the Bible tells us that something is keeping him back, and that something is God. You read 2 Thessalonians. In fact, let me read it for you right now. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day," speaking of the day of the second coming of Christ, "will not come except there be, one, a falling away first, and two, the Son of Man be revealed." That what? The son of perdition. So we know that there's a great falling away. We can see it in the African-American church. That's why our brother wrote the book, Jackass Bishops, to tell us, to show us, to document for us, to put it in writing, to give us the proof that Jackass Bishop is proof that there is a major falling away. The Antichrist is not yet here. Well, let me rephrase that. He's here, but he's not yet politically manifested. He's here. He's alive. He's chomping at the bit. He's chomping at the bit. He just can't wait to come on the world stage and start making his mark and start receiving the praise and the worship of men. He can't wait. So that was verse 3. "Let no man deceive you," Paul said, "for the second of Christ will not take place until, one, there come a falling away, and two, the son of perdition be revealed." Then verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity," the mystery of perversion, "is already at work. Only he who now let it will let until he be taken out of the way." In other words, Satan is being blocked. The Antichrist is being blocked. The false prophet is being blocked from coming on the world stage. Now, when his divine hour comes, when God has given divine permission to let the Antichrist come, then that force, that power, that authority that is keeping the Antichrist at bay, when God's time comes, God will remove that restraint, and the Antichrist will be made manifest. So I want to play a clip here from the movie Rosemary's Baby back in 1968. Because, folks, it's been 49 years that this movie came out. And I want you to hear in this clip, here is Rosemary, and she has just given birth. She doesn't know what happened to her child. She doesn't know what's happened to her baby. She gave birth. She knows she had a baby. Her womb grew. She took it to term 9 months. And when she gave birth, they told her her baby died. But she has discovered that the baby is alive. And the baby is Satan's offspring. And I want you to listen to this. This is back in 1968. That would make Antichrist today 49 years old. Let's listen.
"Rosemary, go back to bed. You know you're not supposed to be up and around."
Rosemary.
Now, what happens here is Rosemary enters a room where there's a baby crib. The baby crib is adorned in black satin. It has an upside-down cross. That's the baby crib now. That's the Antichrist's crib. And she walks into this room, the room belonging to, it's an apartment belonging to her neighbors. Her neighbors are Satan worshipers. They're Satanists. And she happens to come into their apartment, which is across the hall from her, and she sees this crib in black satin with an upside-down cross. And And now the Satanists who are there to worship the baby, pretty much like the Magi did when Christ was born, Rosemary discovers this coven. And let's listen.
Shut up, you're in Dubrovnik. I don't hear you.
Think about going along with the diabolical plan of raising Satan's child. It's a fascinating movie. It poses a fascinating theory. And however it is that Satan's Antichrist comes forth, one thing we know, he is called the Son of Perdition. He will appear. He will want to be worshipped. And the way things are going on in the church, there is no doubt, he's here. He's here. Things are just getting worse and worse in the moral sense, in the spiritual sense, and then in the technological sense, everything's advancing. Think about it. I mean, they're going to start tracking you and me. You don't have to, listen, you don't have to agree. You don't have to agree to take the chip. You don't have to, the chip, they're gonna track you anyway. The government doesn't even tell you and me how they're really tracking us already. Already they're tracking us. You think this 9/11 thing was a coincidence? You think the developing of the government spying arms, of now how they can listen into phone calls and go directly into your computer. They can go directly. They can go into your medical. They can go everywhere. They can delete you. With one click, they can delete your entire history. If they want to, they can make you disappear. They can make all your records disappear. They can make everything disappear. Now, you're still alive, but they can make you disappear. They can say that you were never born, that they don't have any history of your schooling, of your employment. They don't you don't exist. For the government, you don't exist. Therefore, you're not entitled to any benefits. I'm telling you. This is what it's, this is, with one click, they can make everything about you vanish. The same way they can create, they can create an entire profile on you, and it's completely bogus. If they want to type in that you're a terrorist, and then you get pulled over, and the trooper, they put that in the computer, and the trooper comes back with guns blazing. That's right. Others can see what you're doing online. When you sign in, when you get an email address, you have to agree with Google, with Yahoo, with Hotmail, that they can track you. Folks, listen. The technology is there. You can't run. When the Antichrist comes, you think you're going to be able to run? You can't run now. You start driving, you go on a highway. They got cameras everywhere. They have cameras. They're tracking you. You have one of those easy passes, they're tracking you. You go to a football game, they have cameras in stadiums that look at face images. When people go to the Super Bowl, you know, when every time there's a Super Bowl and you're going through those gates and you're online, they got cameras quickly looking at looking and identifying facial images to see if there's a terrorist coming. Folks, it's already there. It's already there. Now, it's not perfect, but it's close. It's close. And after the Antichrist tweaks it, forget it. In World War II, where there was no technology, everything was paper in World War II. Paper passports, paper tickets, paper fare, everything was paper. You couldn't get over on the Nazis. Couldn't get over. They could spot a manufactured passport. They were good. And they were evil. And those were the Nazis. Can you imagine Antichrist? So, folks, we're in the last days. And Satan is here. Now, you don't have to believe in the movie Rosemary's Baby, and I'm not advocating that you believe in it, because that movie is not our final authority. Our final authority is the Bible. I mention it because back in 1968, back in the 1960s, think about it, folks, the 1960s, right? Remember the 1960s? The age of Aquarius, the New Age movement, the psychedelic drugs. What does the Bible talk about? Witchcraft in the book of Revelation, the sorcerers. Well, sorcerers are the people who peddle drugs. They open up gateways to demons. The 1960s, folks, did that. And that's why the follow-up movie, The Omen, which was produced by a different Hollywood company, it had nothing to do with Mia Farrow. They never brought Mia Farrow into the Omen movies. She was never part of that. None of the people involved in Rosemary's Baby ever showed up in a, because The Omen was not a sequel. But here's the interesting thing about The Omen. While Rosemary's Baby focused on the baby, now in the 1970s, The Omen was focusing on a demon seed child of 7-8 years old. So you think about it. From the 1960s now, from 1968 to 1976, you go look at The Omen, and that child is 8 years old or thereabouts. I don't think it's a coincidence. And you know that we, you know, before Christ, it was B.C., and after Christ is A.D., right? Well, the name of the first Antichrist in Rosemary's Baby is Adrian. The second Antichrist in The Omen is Damien. Adrian, Damien, A.D., B.C., A.D., B.C., folks, you think it's a coincidence? I don't think so. I don't really think it is. So I want to play a clip because this is what we're going to be dealing with this entire week, and we're dealing with the Roman Catholic Church and how perverted it is. And if the Mother Church is called the Mother of Harlots, what do you think your church is going to become when your bishop decides to join her and have the entire church follow in suit? If the mother church is called the mother of harlots, the daughter churches are also harlots. So I want to play this clip. I want to play this piece here because we're going to be delving into for this entire week. What I mean by this week, I mean today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, for 4 days, we're going to be talking about how perverted the Roman Catholic Church is. Now, on the 28th of February, 2013, Pope Benedict XVI, unexpectedly resigned as the head of the Vatican Order. In other words, he resigned as Pope. And it was the shortest time in office for any modern day Pope. Now, let us listen.
In February last year, Pope Benedict stunned the world by being the first pope to resign in 600 years.
No person has had more influence on the life of the church, how it works on the inside, than Joseph Ratzinger. He gave it up.
When the helicopter took him away, Benedict was leaving behind a bitterly divided Vatican. This is the inside story of the events that undermined his papacy. It's a story of corruption and cover-up.
If I don't get a response from you, I go public.
Of sexual scandal and abuse.
If you tell anybody, your parents will burn in hell.
Of secrets and hypocrisy.
So there we were, where they had had sex all night long, and he took out all his paraphernalia and started to celebrate Mass.
Stop.
And a story of leaked documents exposing a bitter internal power struggle.
When we gather the documents, the published documents dealing with corruption, scandals, frauds, nepotism.
Now a new pope, Francis, must battle the forces that overwhelmed his predecessor.
If he wants to change the church, it's going to mean decisive action. And it's risky to take on the Vatican Curia.
Well, folks, that's what we're going to be covering tomorrow. That's just an introduction. That's what we're going to be covering tomorrow, Tuesday, the following day, Wednesday and Thursday. We're going to be doing three more days of this, and we're going to be talking about the perverted Roman Catholic Church. I want to play audio that will show that the pedophilia is rampant, that the child sex abuse is a pandemic. The homosexuality in the Roman Catholic Church is a pandemic. And folks, all of this that you see in Rome spreads and will spread to your local church and is already spreading, because when you look at your bishop, he looks like a complete idiot dressed up in Roman Catholic garb. Well, when you put on those outfits and you wear the colors of the harlot church, which are purple and scarlet, you take on the spirit, the arrogance, you take on the perversions of this church. You take on the perversions of this church. So tune in tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow. This was just an introduction to get you ready for what's coming in the next 3 days. And I want to end today's broadcast with a song from a couple, Joey and Rory Ulrich. And the song is "Are You Washed in the Blood?" And boy, do we need to be washed in the blood after a broadcast like this. I love you in the Lord. I'll be back tomorrow. I pray you will too. God bless you.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed?